Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
There we go. It's hour two. It's a Tuesday live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Thanks for stopping by. Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, FS1. Good to be here. I'm so glad that hate mail doesn't bother me. I get off on the pain of it. I'm not going
to
lie.
I think it's kind of a mentality you have to adopt in this business.
I tell my daughter that all the time. Like, you got to be able to just kind of laugh at hate. It's kind of like funny. Like, people get worked up over tweets. Like, I think it's funny. I have never in my life, I told somebody once this, who listened to me all the time, and he goes, "Oh, you drove me crazy the other day." And I said, "I have been listening to sports talk radio for 30 years. In 30 years of listening, I've never once listened to sports talk radio and been upset. It's just another person's opinion. What do I care if we don't agree? I've never listened to it once and gone, I am so angry, I'm going to call." Not one time. Now, there are people that bore me, I turn it off. There are people that I just don't think are very smart, and I choose to turn it off. But I couldn't care less if I just entertain me. When I turn the radio on, Howard Stern would entertain me. Oh, that's good enough. I'm not asking to be perfect or right all the time. Just entertain me.
Well, I think sports is kind of it's natural to debate and argue about sports.
It's tribal.
Yes, it's very divisive all the time. Even over your own team, like what decisions they should make and what they should do. So, you know, these are our people. I just think it's part of the deal. Like, we're going to argue. That's
no, I mean,
sports fun.
Half of my audience hates me. I've always understood that. They hated me in Portland. They hated me at ESPN. They hate me here. Half of them hate me.
But it's kind of like, it's like a love, it's kind of love hate thing.
It's kind of my badge of honor to be a, yeah, no, as Goulet said, half. All right, 80-20.
As long as you're listening, guys.
All right, here we go. I spend too much time on this. That's the Herd hierarchy, my 10 favorite. This is the weirdest one ever. I'm not even sure if half these teams are any good. I swear to God. I have no idea. The league is topsy-turvy. Here we go.
Herd hierarchy.
Time is now. Let's go.
The top 10 NFL teams according to Colin. Number 10.
Miami. They're on a 3-game winning streak. They were outgained by 326 yards and won. They're good. They're not great. They have the number one scoring defense. I think they're well coached. I think being well coached is good enough to be in this group. I mean, seriously, like, they can go over the top. Saints can't. I kind of get the same defensive performance. I don't with the Bills. When you get outgained by 326 yards and win, and am winning convincingly, Miami's 10.
Number 9.
Arizona, I think. I mean, Kyler Murray leads all quarterback in rushing touchdowns and rushing yards. It's something. He's had multiple touchdowns in every game. He's growing. They're number one in total offense. They're giving you 250 yards a game, you know, passing, 150 rushing. They're hard to defend. I mean, I wouldn't want to play them. They're right now, they're certainly not the worst team in the NFC West. They're very explosive. They're getting better on defense. I think they're number 9.
Number 8.
Green Bay just got blown out. Green Bay, I think. They're too reliant on Devontae Adams. They got rid of Blake Martinez at linebacker, so now they're lousy at linebacker. They've lost two of their last three games off a bye. Minnesota pushed them around like a grocery cart for 3.5 hours. But they've got Aaron Rodgers. They're good with a lead. I think they're competent at head coach. Very good at quarterback. Wouldn't trust them in a big spot, though. Green Bay at 8.
Number 7.
Titans just got rolled by Cincinnati. I'll go 7, Titans. They were good like 3 weeks ago. I love their coach. Derrick Henry's amazing. Tannehill's pretty good. They need a pass rush, so they're limited. But we don't think they have a bad coach or a bad team, right? I mean, it felt like to me it was a bad matchup with Cincinnati. That's a good offense, and they couldn't get a pass rush. And Cincinnati's O-line stinks, so they couldn't take advantage of the one Cincinnati issue that's really, really, really bad. I still like them. They just went and got a cornerback before the trading deadline. That'll help their defense. 7.
Number 6.
I don't know what I'm doing now. Raiders. They've beaten the Chiefs. They've beaten the Saints. I just watched them this weekend go to Cleveland and beat a really solid Cleveland team. Derek Carr is going to set every record in his career. He and Gruden work. He's good. He's a top 10 quarterback with Gruden. He is in everything. What do you want me to say? They got beat by Tampa. It was a COVID week. The whole offensive line had a COVID scare. They looked like crap. Their schedule going forward is the third easiest in the league. I mean, they beat the Panthers, who I think are really a tough out. They beat the Saints. They beat the Chiefs. They beat the Browns. I think they're a top six team.
Number five.
Ravens. Now I start feeling confident. And Baltimore's a top five team. Folks, they outgained the Steelers by 240 yards. Lamar didn't play well. They're still a good team. They outgained the Steelers. They pushed the Steelers around for 3.5 hours. You know, Lamar Jackson's regressed. And that's why they're not a Super Bowl favorite right now. He's regressed. But I don't think any of this stuff is totally unsolvable. I don't like his throwing motion. I never have. It's weird. He misses too many open receivers. I don't think he's good up the sidelines, deep balls, but whatever. They're five.
Number four.
The one team I think I've got underrated, Seattle. They get Jamal Adams back, but I haven't seen him in a while. And Carlos Dunlap, here he comes. It's a best offense. Do you know they're the only team in the NFL that scored 27-plus points every game this year? They have the best football player in the world. They're winning without healthy running backs, without a pass rush. I think starting this next week, they're going to start potentially in the next week or two when Carlos Dunlap is in shape and ready to go and Jamal Adams is back. They're going to start rolling people. Seattle at four.
Number three.
Pittsburgh. Slow down. I know they're undefeated. Can they blow out anybody? Can they blow out anybody? They're a field goal away from going to overtime with Tennessee. And this past week, they got outgained by 240 yards. I honestly think the weakness of the team is Big Ben. You can't blame Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin's done his job. This defense is great. That's Tomlin's side of the ball. Mike Tomlin's beyond criticism. He has done his job with this organization. And I've been critical of Mike Tomlin. But that defense is Mike's, and it is nasty. It is nasty. Mike Tomlin has done everything. Kevin Colbert, you can't blame him. I think it's the best constructed roster in the NFL. I don't trust Big Ben in big spots. I've seen him make too many bad throws. So I'd say Pittsburgh three.
Number two.
Tampa Bay. Oh, stop. Last night was such a I had the Giants last night. Last night's the most predictable game of the year. Tampa Bay plays the Saints next week. It's their season. They want to win this division because they got beat by them first week and they look like garbage. They're still not healthy. They're still doing it with, you know, used parts at skill positions. Mike Evans, thank God, is back. Chris Godwin, they're still waiting. So this is the best combination of explosive offense, veteran smart quarterback, great defense. I got it all here. They're basically Pittsburgh with more efficiency at quarterback. Tom Brady right now, 17 passing touchdowns and one pick since week three. That's the best in the NFL in that span. I trust Tom in big spots late. I don't know what's with Big Ben.
Number one.
Kansas City, they've actually won. They're 4-0 on the road this year. I mean, they're the only team in the league. I don't even care where they play. They can play in the parking lot at Fox. Who cares? They're going to drop 35 on you. They had a weird week against the Raiders, came back, didn't have enough. It's the best team in the league. I trust them. I trust Andy Reid and Mahomes down the stretch more than I would trust Big Ben. And their defense, frankly, is way underrated now. It's a top five defense in the NFL. It's playing really, really good. So there's my hurt hierarchy. I don't even know if it's remotely accurate outside of the top four. I like my top five. The rest of it's nonsense. I don't even know. Seriously, I love Kansas City, Tampa, Pittsburgh, Seattle, Baltimore. After that, it is nonsense. I don't even know if the Raiders could lose the next six.
I think you have the top three right. I would put the Steelers above the Bucks, but yeah, I'm with you on the rest of it. It's
okay, go ahead and bang on Miami. You tell me a team that gets outgained by 350 yards, starts a rookie quarterback, and crushes them.
I would move Tennessee above the Raiders.
I think I would too. But seriously, I'm not even arguing with you.
It gets very weird after the top three.
I mean, I watched the Raiders and I've rolled my eyes at the Raiders for years. I'm like, give me a break. But they beat Mahomes. They beat Breeze. Everybody gets a stinker. They were bad against the Bucs. It was a COVID week. They were bad. They beat New Orleans and they kind of drubbed them. And Kansas City, and I've said this about the Raiders. They're the only team in the NFL that I don't think can win multiple playoff games, but can also beat every team in the league. And they've proven it because they've beaten Kansas City. They can beat any team in the league. At most teams that I say they can't win multiple playoff games, they're not going to beat the top three or four teams. I think the Raiders could beat anybody on any week. I think Gruden's had a great year of coaching.
Well, so if you look at it that way, then I would move. I'd probably move the Packers above the Raiders also. But I think the Packers could win multiple playoff games.
I feel like the Packers are so reliant on Davante Adams.
Oh, they're very much a finesse team. I mean,
if he twists his ankle,
last year.
Yeah, the same team as last year, although they're not nearly as good at linebacker. They let Blake Martinez go. He's a tackling machine. They're not as good at linebacker.
No so Saints?
No, I don't put that. Okay. So you guys all love the Saints. You tell me that locker room is right. Michael Thomas practices, doesn't play. They have no deep threat ability. There's something going on in that locker room. They're very Alvin Kamara. And their defense isn't close to as good as everybody thought.
If they beat the Bucs again, though.
Okay, then it's a different, you know, if this, if that.
Yeah.
But like Buffalo, that was embarrassing. That win over New England. They are a Cam Newton fumble from losing to the Patriots, who have no players now. They weren't playing Gilmore. They're not playing Edelman.
No, I didn't love that game for Buffalo. I guess I would have to put the Saints up there, too. I don't know. I'm with you, actually. I don't know. It's really crazy after the top three teams. Like, you can't deny Kansas City, the Bucks, and the Steelers are the best teams in the
league.
I'll
put this
right
on my social. You tell me what you think. But I'm not in on the Saints. Something's not right in that locker room. Their defense isn't – Lattimore's not as good. Their rush ends aren't as good. Michael Thomas situation. They can't throw a deep ball. I'm not down with it. All right, coming up, Albert Breer trading deadline. The very latest on the NFL trading deadline.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
This weekend, Pac-12 football returns as Arizona State takes on USC in the big noon Saturday game of the week on Fox, or over on FS1, Big Ten heavyweight Michigan battles Indiana. Both those games are Saturday at noon Eastern on Fox and FS1, and as always, streaming live on the Fox Sports app.
Those are good games, actually.
Yep.
Arizona State, USC, really interesting game. USC's talent's mostly on offense. Arizona State's got a lot of defensive talent. Time to change your wireless provider, puretalkusa.com. 2 gigs of data, unlimited talk text, $400 a year, that's it. Albert Breer, it's trading deadline day. It's election day. I'm exhausted from politics. And it's trading deadline day, which I like because I like getting players and trading players. And Albert Breer is joining us, Monday morning quarterback. All right, so we've been on this since Brady left. We think New England should reboot, trade their players, Gilmore, move on. I think they are trying to trade Gilmore. I mean, New England today, listen, they to me, this is a slow team offensively. They need cap space and picks. What do you think they do today?
Well, I can tell you, last week they basically told teams, make us an offer. We're willing to listen on just about anybody on the roster. And, you know, that's obviously a very marked change. This was a time of year when they've always been a buyer. And so, you know, I think Steph Gilmore is obviously at the top of the list as far as commodities they have. Maybe a couple of the offensive linemen. Joe Tooney could be a nice rental for somebody. A little expensive, but a very, very good player. David Andrews, their center, is another, you know, player who I think could have some value out there. And but really looking at this, Colin, what's interesting about it is the idea of the Patriots moving players, when you start to wrap your head around it, you realize they don't have a ton to move right now. There aren't a ton of guys on their roster that really would have great value in other places. And so that's part of the issue right now, is that they aren't in a championship window. They mortgaged their future over the last couple of years. They haven't drafted very well. And so here they are in this spot where they really need to build up some draft capital. And that's why they're trying to move some of their veteran guys.
Listen, if you watch Green Bay, it's very obvious. Davante Adams is great, but they're incredibly reliant on him. They could use another receiver. And their linebacking core, when they let Blake Martinez go, is not as good. He was a tackling machine. They don't have a history of doing stuff at the trading deadline. Anything on Green Bay you think happens?
Well, I would watch Green Bay just because I think things have changed there since the transition from Ted Thompson to Brian Gutekunst as the general manager. You look at some of the things they've done in free agency, signing Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith, the way they've been trade happy in the draft. You never saw that in the past under Ted Thompson. And so there has been a real change in the way that they operate there over the last couple of years. And this would be a spot where I think Brian Gutekunst could do something to kind of give the team a little juice. I think they need it right now, the way they've played the last couple of weeks. And so I think they will look at the receiver spot. They have been in contact with the Houston Texans on Will Fuller. I could see them kicking the tires with maybe the Giants receivers, maybe somebody like Golden Tate interest them. And so I know what you're saying, Colin, that they haven't had the history of doing that, and that always frustrated Aaron Rodgers. I would just tell you that despite the fact that, you know, maybe A-Rod didn't like what they did in the draft last year and taking Jordan Love in the first round, I mean, on balance, if you look at the last couple of years since Brian Gutekunst took over as GM, they really have been a whole lot more aggressive. So I expect them to kick the tires on a whole lot of different options over the next few hours.
I was saying earlier today, in the NFL, if you're a quarterback, if you're inconsistent, if your coach loses confidence, and then you can't stay healthy, you may have a future in the NFL, but probably not with that team. So if I'm Kyle Shanahan, Russell Wilson's great, never gets hurt. Goff is pretty good, and it never gets hurt. Kyler Murray is getting better, and again, is always available. Garoppolo's hurt again. Like, I can't believe that next year Kyle Shanahan's going to go, let's run this thing back and see how it works. Like, I think privately, he's exhausted. I think he's done with it. That's my takeaway this morning. Am I wrong?
I may have given you this story before, but I'll go through it again. You know, the Tom Brady situation from March, and that, you know, through a member of their staff, word got to the Niners that, hey, Tom Brady wants to be there. And so if you guys have a spot for him, he'll come. So Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch got word of that. They wound up looking at tape of Tom Brady over a couple of days. They liked what they saw. They came to the conclusion this guy still has plenty left. Then they went through the exercise of looking at their own quarterback. So they looked at Jimmy Garoppolo over a couple of days. And at the end of it, they came to the conclusion, we're good. We really like where we are with Jimmy Garoppolo. So that tells you two things, Colin. Number one, they really do like Jimmy Garoppolo. But number two, they're willing to look at upgrades. They're willing to look at other options. And so I think that that's where they are going forward. They like Jimmy Garoppolo. They've got him on a team-friendly deal now. He's making about what an elite pass rusher would make if you really look at his contract the next couple of years. But because the money's not guaranteed, because there could be some options out there, if, say, they're drafting in the top 10, maybe somebody like Trey Lance, if Matt Ryan or Kirk Cousins comes available, if there's a better option out there, I think they would consider it. But I think that's all going to be kind of directly related to the options that are out there for the Niners. I don't think they're just going to flat out dump Jimmy G.
Okay. So let me throw this at you. Bad companies in any industry too often look for the quick fix. Now, sometimes the quick fix works. The Jets are not brilliantly run in the last decade.
Right.
They're going to go get Trevor Lawrence. Because in their mind, it'll satiate their fans. It's the big get. It'll solve the stuff. And I think they're going to feel like some sort of like NFL cultural pressure to go get the next Elway, and they're going to do it. That means Sam Darnold is going to be on the market. Now, I believe the Colts and the Niners would look at him, and I think maybe he's a first or a second, probably a second round pick. I don't know, but just your thoughts on the Darnold market, because I strongly believe the Jets are going to go get Trevor Lawrence. If you don't get him and he becomes great, you're just going to stick to the franchise for 30 years. Is there a market for Darnold?
Well, let's start with the Jets. I'm with you 100%. There are a couple reasons you didn't mention. There, one, it turns back the clock on the rookie quarterback contract thing, so you have a little bit more flexibility. It also builds Joe Douglas, the general manager, time to build. There's not a lot of urgency. You don't kind of make a big decision on your quarterback for a few years. So I think it's helpful in that way. I do think there's going to be a market for Sam Darnold. And I think what you have to do, Colin, is you have to go back and look at what teams thought of Sam Darnold coming out. I believe the Niners liked him. The Denver Broncos liked him. And like you look at somebody like the Pittsburgh Steelers, maybe they look at it and say, we would never have a shot at this kind of guy because we draft too late. Would we swing, say, the 30th pick in the draft for Sam Darnold? I think what you're going to see if Sam Darnold comes available, because the Jets have the first overall pick, is a lot of teams are going to look back and say, okay, let's turn the clock back to three years. Let's look at 2018. Let's look what we thought of Sam Darnold going back then. And I'm telling you, like, if you look back there, I mean, the consensus across the NFL, Colin, wasn't that Baker Mayfield, who went first overall, was the best quarterback. The consensus was that Sam Darnold was the best quarterback. So I think his market's going to be very much based on what teams thought of him in 2018. And based on that, I think the Jets will have a market.
Okay, is everybody in America, including NFL GMs, watching election coverage, or are we going to have moves in the next 3 hours?
So I think the thing that you really want to kind of pay attention to isn't so much the rest of this year as 2021 and 2022. The cap could fall as much as $25 million based on the revenue shortfall that's coming. The effects of this could be really felt over the next 3 years, not just next year. And so I think that's sort of made it a little bit more difficult for teams to make moves here, in that if you're bringing in a veteran, is he expensive next year? Or if he's not under contract for next year, is he going to be expensive to keep next year? That can be a problem for teams that are already looking at a cap crunch going into 2021. And so that's one problem. And then over the weekend, the other problem was that asking prices were a little high.
Yeah.
And that's not unusual. They usually do come down when you get closer to the deadline. I look at all these different elements, Colin, and I'm not sure it creates a great environment for movement. Throw on top of that the COVID-19 entry procedures, which means you won't be getting somebody that you traded for another week. And I think we're probably looking at a pretty slow market. Although, you know, we have seen a couple deals already get done this week in Avery Williamson and Desmond King getting moved.
Albert Breer, Monday Morning Quarterback. Good stuff. Trading deadline day. Thanks, Albert.
All right. Thanks, Colin.
You know what? It's you work hard, you keep your head down, good things happen. Sam Darnold goes to the Colts, 49ers. He either gets Frank Reich, who's a grown-up, or he gets Shanahan, who's really good. Just work hard, keep your head down. You don't always get things at the time you want them. But that could be the best thing that ever happened to Sam Darnold. The best thing in the world. Done with his dysfunction, done with Adam Gase. Very exciting time for me. I'm not getting you. If he goes to the 49ers, I will be completely insufferable. You think I was obnoxious an hour ago. It'll be like had the Heat beaten the Lakers. Joy.
Oh.
Just have to literally just go, oh boy, here we go for 5 minutes. I will be insufferable. All right, Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, the 49ers will be without Jimmy Garoppolo and George Kittle for the foreseeable future. Garoppolo re-aggravated his right ankle sprain and is expected to miss at least 6 weeks. And further testing revealed that Kittle broke a bone in his foot, and that could keep him out for 8 weeks. So his season may be over as well.
He gets hurt a lot. You know, he seeks collisions.
Kittle?
That's the downside. I mean, I like him, but he seeks destruction, and that's what you get. You end up walking off the field like that.
He's extremely talented and extremely valuable, but that's a part of how he plays.
Yep. Travis Kelce, by the way, is a tough dude, but he didn't get hurt as much. He's got a little more finesse. He doesn't seek collisions. So George Kittle's got a lot of pro wrestler. He's got a lot of Gronk in him. But in the end, I need my guys on the field. If I'm paying you a lot, I need you on the field.
Well, I don't know. The situation with San Francisco is just what it is. Like, it's just an injury situation. We talked about it yesterday and last week that maybe we moved too quickly to say that San Francisco was done, but no, we didn't. Their injuries are just out of control this year, and it's not anyone's fault. It just is what it is, and it's just a lost season for them. That's too much to overcome in this division. And like that, it's not like they're going to like give up or anything or fall apart. Like, they have their coach, they have their front office, they have a good culture. They're going to overcome this. But the team may look very different next year. That is what it is. And I don't think it's a Super Bowl hangover either. I think it's just due to injuries. And every once in a while, you're just going to have a season where you just get ravaged with injuries. Yeah, it's no one's fault. And that's just, it's too much to overcome.
No, they've had 2 or 3 weeks where they've been unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, they've had Thursday. They could go in and play Green Bay and control the line of scrimmage again. Nobody would be shocked. We'd be like, oh, Shanahan dialed it up. They ran at the Packers. Nobody would be shocked.
I don't see them winning Thursday.
Because of Nick Mullins, probably.
Yeah, but the way the season is going, I don't know. Like, it's a Thursday game. It's a short week. You really don't know. So I just think that it's just a lost season for the 49ers, but I don't think it's the end of the road for Shanahan and what they've put together. It's just you're going to have to make adjustments. Exactly what Robert was just talking about. So the Bucs escaped a 25-23 win over the Giants after the failed 2-point conversion. And after the game, Mike Evans said he was happy they were able to pull off this close win.
It means a lot. You know, in the past, we would have found a way to lose a game like that. But, you know, defense made a play when it counted. Offense picked it up in the second half and found a way to win.
Yeah, he's right. But he's exactly right. They would have lost that game 25-23 last year. They win it 25-23 this year.
That's why you feel optimistic about the Bucs this year. You know that Tom Brady's not going to make a bad decision in a big moment like you saw Daniel Jones make yesterday, because he's a young quarterback and they're a young team. And this, like, you're not going to have situations like that with Tom Brady. He's been in these situations before. This is actually what good teams do. Good teams have the capability of winning ugly in a down game, right? You thought that you were right. The Giants were going to cover, as they did, that this was going to be a tough game for them. They're looking ahead to the bigger game, which is the Saints next week. Sometimes you get caught up doing that. And sometimes you just have teams like the Giants who play really well. This is the NFL. Everyone's still professionals.
Yeah.
You might just have a game where you play down to your competition.
Yeah.
And if you're a good team, you overcome throughout the game. You don't lose the momentum, you don't lose your energy, and you don't lose your confidence throughout the game. So what you're playing this way against the Giants? Finish it out. It doesn't have to be pretty.
Yeah.
You don't get extra credit for a pretty win or like a pretty loss. It doesn't matter. It's win-loss, and they got the win, and that's the difference between last year with Jameis and this year with Tom Brady.
Yeah.
So the Jets have already made some moves ahead of the trade deadline, but even at 0-8, Adam Gase insists he is not giving up on the season despite trades. He said, I never look at waving the white flag. That's not in my DNA. We have guys that other teams see value in, and we're going to get draft picks due to it. That's part of what happens when you don't win.
I'm shocked he's still there. I was told like a month ago, like they were done. They made a decision.
Well,
maybe they just didn't want the turmoil the year. It was enough turmoil for Darnold. Or they just wanted to keep losing. It's not working. Let's keep him in. I mean, seriously, like a lot of times the interim coach guys play their butt off for him. Cornell.
Yeah, so there, you can change the energy around in the building with an interim coach. I'm not a big fan of firing coaches midseason unless it's a very, very toxic situation, especially if you have a young quarterback and, you know, we all think they're going to move off Sam Darnold, but they very well might not move off Sam Darnold. I just don't know what the value is if it's not a situation where people just don't even want to come into the building. Because what? Unless you're not sure that the person that you're going to bring as the interim coach has the capability of becoming the head coach, what's the point? You're not like getting ahead of the coaching search.
Right.
You're just kind of appeasing fans for the most part in that situation because you can't fire the quarterback and you can't fire the team. So who can you move out?
Right.
The head coach. So I don't mind that he's still there. I don't think he's going to be there next year. I don't think anybody does, but I don't mind that they haven't moved off of him. They have the Patriots at home this week, but they have released Le'Veon Bell, obviously, who's now with the Chiefs, traded Avery Williamson to the Steelers, traded defensive tackle Steve McClendon to the Bucks, and traded linebacker Jordan Willis to the 49ers. So they have made some moves. They picked up three 2022 draft picks, all in the fifth and sixth rounds. In the three trades and surrendered.
So they have two first-round picks. I think they have two thirds, three fifths.
They have nine picks in the 2021 draft, and they could gain an additional seventh rounder from the Seahawks, depending on conditions from a previous trade. So they do have a lot of picks.
Yeah. You get new players, Trevor Lawrence and a bunch of new players, and you'll get another pick for Sam Darnold. So you'll have...
Yeah, you'll get picks for Sam Darnold.
So you're going to have... Is it two thirds, two firsts, and if Darnold gets a second, you'll have two seconds. I mean, that's six starters for the Jets.
I think they'll get a first for Sam Darnold. I have a hard time believing that someone wouldn't give a first for Sam Darnold. If you're the Colts...
Oh,
who's your quarterback?
No, I would give a first for Darnold. He's a starting quarterback.
I
give a first.
I don't know how you don't give a first.
Belichick wants a first and a player for Stephon Gilmore.
Yes.
Who's an expensive corner who looks to be out of his prime.
No, they're probably not going to get that for Stephon Gilmore, but the asking price at that for Stephon Gilmore, of course you're going to get a first for Sam Darnold. I don't see how you don't.
All right, good stuff. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
You know, it's funny. I was watching New England last night. And, you know, when Brady left for New England or left for Tampa, everybody knew Tom was going to get more offensive weapons, right? Like that. But Brady now has like four playmakers on defense. Like we all knew, oh, the offense is going to be good. I was thinking about this last night. Tom Brady's weapons, if I listed, let's give his best seven weapons. Mike Evans is a Pro Bowler. Antonio Brown was the best receiver in the game when he left. Chris Godwin's a number one on most teams. Leonard Fournette's a really good running back. Gronk is still lethal in the red zone. Ronald Jones is the best backup running back in the NFL, maybe. And Scotty Miller runs a 4-4, 4-3. He's a player. Okay, that is that. And I'm not. They got other players. They drafted a wide receiver, Tyler Johnson. I didn't put on that list, and he keeps getting better every couple weeks. So they got seven guys who have some quality. They're productive. They're talented. Look at New England. James White, the running back, is their best. They don't have a two. That's why Brady left. That's it. Tom's 43. It's like, I need help around the house. I can't be the only one doing the dishes, taking the garbage out, doing all the windows. They got nothing. And James White doesn't even play every weekend. And when I was watching last night, my takeaway was, when you get older, like the idea, as I get older doing this, I want more help. because I want to keep my standards high, but I don't have the energy I do now at 27 to 34 years old when I could literally live off 4 hours of sleep, do a show with a hangover, and play basketball, break my ankle, and play 2 days later. Like, we all age, right? Like, you want more help, but you want to do good stuff. I kept thinking, I look at all those weapons. I'm like, wow. But even their defensive weapons, they got like four playmakers on defense. New England's got one, Stephon Gilmore, and they're trying to trade him. Like, this is the biggest landslide in the history of divorces. It isn't even close. I mean, I don't care who's the quarterback at New England. They have got to hit a home run on five draft picks and hit a home run on at least two major free agents, or that offense will not move the ball. They have no elite tight end wide receiver talent. None. Coming up next, Antonio Cromartie, trading deadline, teams add and subtract. What does it do to a locker room? Joins us next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
RecTech, more than a grill, a lifestyle. RECTEQ.com, smart grill technology. You can turn on all your produce from your phone. That's pretty good. Antonio Cromartie, Fox Sports NFL analyst, played for 11 years in the NFL. He was a four-time Pro Bowler. He was an elite shutdown corner, and he is now joining us live. So I was saying this, and you played probably with some guys like this. You got to be available. Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt in New England. Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt his first full year in San Francisco. Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt. Now he's going to be out for a month. Antonio, I'm looking at him if I'm Kyle Shanahan, and I'm calling my GM, and I'm like, listen, I can like a guy, but if you're not healthy in a division with Russell Wilson, Kyler, and Goff, like, I believe this morning they're saying to themselves, we got to move on. Do you believe that?
I believe that from a standpoint of just his durability. He's not durable. Like I said, he had the ACL injury before. Now he's dealing with this injury here where he's going to miss a month. He's injured in New England. So you look at a guy, you look at his injury history, and it's like, okay, this dude has not played a full entire season for us yet. When is this going to happen? And after you pay a guy that much money, you're looking for a guy to be dependable, durable, and can give you the best chance at winning.
So a team like Green Bay is good, but they need another receiver and they need another linebacker. When you were in the NFL, were you ever on a team that you thought was good, but you knew at the trading deadline, like, we're not good at linebacker, or we need another player? And if Green Bay doesn't go out and get the help that I think their players know they need, were you ever in that situation where it's like everybody in the room sort of knows we need a guy there and we need a dude there? Can it be bad news for the locker room chemistry if a team doesn't go out at the deadline and make a move the players know they have to make?
Well, honestly, I don't think it can do anything for the locker room. I mean, at the end of the day, players only can do what they can do. They can control what only they can control. They can make suggestions. They can go out and say certain things. But at the end of the day, we have no control over that. If they go out on the deadline and go do it, they do it. If they don't, then we still have to play with the guys that we have and try to do the best that we can from that standpoint. But as the team morale and what we have to try to do during the trading deadline, I mean, we have no say. So that's all GMs and that's the coaching staff.
Yeah. So Lamar Jackson's talented. Nobody would doubt that. Mm-hmm. But in the last three or four games, he's completing a lower percentage. He's not quite as dialed in. Maybe it's because, you know, the league's got a book on him now and they're forcing him to do stuff he doesn't love. Can he get through it? Can he blow through the wall? Where do you see Lamar Jackson today? Is this what he is? Kind of a turnover prone guy who, when you shut the run down, he not quite as scary as he was in the first year and a half?
No, I don't think. I think he's just hitting the wall. I think he's going to break through the wall. I just think from a standpoint, you get guys that know how to game scheme now. They understand what he's good at, and they understand what he's not good at. So they try to take the things that he's good at away and try to make him do the things that he cannot do. And one of the things that he's constantly having problems with is throwing outside the numbers.
Yeah.
I mean, he can throw a heck of a deep ball. He can get the ball down the middle of the seam, but comebacks and he's throwing out routes and timing routes like that, you don't see that coming from him. But he's still a guy that can change the game at any point in time with his legs or his arms. So, you know, I think he's just hitting a little wall right now. It's going to come back to him, and he's going to get back to where he needs to be.
Yeah. Okay, so this is my take, that Sam Darnold can play, but the Jets are a dumpster fire and have ruined him. Do you, if you were the Colts, if you were the Colts, and you got a pretty good roster, but you got an old quarterback who can't move, you're the Niners. Garoppolo can't stay healthy. I think Darnold is a stock at a really low price. I think you can get him for very little now. He's been beaten up by the Jets. I would go get him, but I'm a West Coast guy. I watched him at USC. I know his family. I like him. Do you believe a team like the Colts or the Niners, where they have either availability or age problems, would you go out and get Darnold if he's on the market?
Oh, 100%. I will take him. Just for the simple fact, he's a pro style quarterback everyone's looking for. I think when you add the weapons around him, he can be the guy he needs to be. And I think better coaching around him, especially in these last 2 years, just feel like he's gone downhill. But I believe you put him around the right system, put him around a guy like Kyle Shanahan, and you put him there, you put him anywhere, even in Indy. That he can be able to have success and from that standpoint.
Okay, now there's a big talk in New York this morning. I think Daniel Jones makes too many mistakes, but he's fairly, yes. He's pretty athletic. He throws a pretty good ball. He doesn't have Saquon Barkley, so I'm watching him thinking he just doesn't have his dude. I think he can play. I don't love him, but I think he's a franchise quarterback. What do you think this morning? Well,
I think he's a franchise quarterback. I just think he makes too many mistakes. I think when you look at him, he's trying to make the big play. If you look at his two interceptions last night, he threw everything off his back foot, even on the two-point conversion. When you look at the two-point conversion, that ball was late. That ball should have been thrown earlier, and it was behind. He throws that ball to the pylon. It's tie game. You know, looking at 25-25 with a chance of going into overtime and pushing that game to a victory. I mean, I think they have the talent, especially on the offensive side. I just think that Daniel Jones got to make better decisions on what he's doing.
Yeah. Antonio Cromartie, did you watch Tua play at all, by the way? Did you watch Tua in Miami?
I did. I mean, it was okay. I didn't see anything spectacular. Honestly, I still felt like the defense and the special teams won that game. It was nothing that he really did. I saw better games with having Ryan Fitzpatrick at the quarterback position. Yeah. Just my opinion.
Yeah, no, I think it's a lot of people's opinion. Antonio Cromartie, thanks, bud.
Thank you.
By the way, we had Mike Vick on yesterday. Speaking of, I thought he was brutally honest on Tua. My takeaway on Tua is, what is the dynamic it physically? Like, he could be super smart. He could be good. You know, I mean, again, we know Dak's intangibles are great. Some guys are just intangible. I mean, Andy Dalton's intangibles were always good. He played hard. He's a tough guy. But where's the it with Andy Dalton? Like, where's the it? Where's the it with Dak? He's not a great arm talent. Got a little wiggle, not too much. And here's what Michael Vick said. And Mike likes Tua and lives in Miami or near it. And I said, Mike, what did you see with Tua?
Looked at Tua at first glance. I was like, he looked a little small, looked a little frail. He needed to get his guns up a little bit. Usually when I meet, you know, mobile quarterbacks, you know, I always look at their frame and what they're working with, because it determines, you know, how long they're going to last. And some frames bigger than others. So, you know, when I first looked at Tua, I was like, you know, he got to gain a little weight. You know, he's got to get stronger. He's got to get ready for the NFL pounding.
Yeah, no, I totally agree on that. Now, so then 40 minutes later, I brought Trent Dilfer on, who's done all these Elite 11 camps. And I'm like, okay, you tell me. It's not a size thing, not a big arm. You tell me what I didn't see or what I'm about to see with Tua.
He has the itch. The itch is the combination of horsepower and twitch that he has. You can't put mobility on it. He's got small area quickness along with power that very few have. You're talking about, in my opinion, one of the all-time great accurate deep ball throwers. We'll do this show in January, and we'll revisit the Tua thing, and I'm pretty confident that you'll go, okay, now I see the it.
Now, I do believe he has to be Drew Brees to win. Super accurate, cool, calm, good leader. But remember, Brees plays at least 9 games in a dome. Okay, that's a warm weather division. Tua is in a division. He'll go to Buffalo. He'll go to Jersey and the Jets, and he'll go to Foxborough. Often all three late in the year. So that it is a cold weather division with one warm team. What does that mean? His biggest games could be in Foxborough late. His biggest games could be in Buffalo or against Trevor Lawrence with the Jets. Miami's great, but it also, you get some weird weather in Miami at times. So, and the other thing is, so everybody says he's going to be Drew Brees. So Drew has the advantage of rode Atlanta warm, Carolina's mostly warm, Tampa Bay's always warm, and he plays 8 in the dome. Also, he has Sean Payton, where Tua's got a defensive coach. Also, we live in a different time where people were a lot more patient with Drew Brees years ago. People are not patient. You get like 8 games now. I think it's tough for him. Hey, I eat right, I exercise, I try to, but I also take a supplement every day. It's called M-Drive. Check it out, mdriveformen.com. Do not let age define you. Walgreens has it, so does Rite Aid. Jay Glazer last hour, trading deadline.